The name of today's message is, we are the living and true body of Messiah. Familiar concept. There's a problem, though. I'm convinced, and the Holy Spirit made sure that I was convinced, that we do not fully grasp what it means to not just be in the body. Here's the idea. Sometimes we think of we're in the body of Messiah. But that's not what it is. Totally. Yes, we're in the body of Messiah. But what does it actually mean to be the body of Messiah? We're not just in it, we're it. We're part of it. Us and the rest of the Christian community. We're the body of Messiah. We are the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah has all the authority of Yeshua. It's the body of Yeshua, the Messiah. So it has all of his authority. But then you say, wait a minute, he's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father and we're over here. He said there was a disconnect. Sorry. Scripture doesn't say that. Instead, the scripture says, and Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, this is Matthew 28, famous verse. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The next thing is, go therefore. That therefore means that I am transferring to you authority. Not just to those 12 or 11 at that point. Not just to the 11. 12 a little bit later. Okay, so the menorah had a little dip on it. But to the body of Messiah. What does that mean? Get this deep in your heart. That means that the body of Messiah has the authority of deity. That means that the body of Messiah has the authority of deity. What did he say to do? He said to go make disciples of all the nations, which is Israel's calling. Israel's calling is to be a light, okay? A light, a revelation to the nations. It's written down in the Torah. But he said to make disciples of all nations. When you make disciples, that includes making disciples of ourselves. That includes making disciples of our children. That includes making disciples of our spouses. That includes making disciples of our family. That includes making disciples of our neighbors, of our cities, of our state, of our country and the world. Go ye therefore into every corner of the world. So we think we just need to go over there and leave home alone. Nice movie, but that's not what it means. You start at home. You practice with your spouse. You practice with your children. You practice with the family, trying to make disciples of all of them. Last week, Rebbetzin was anointed of God. I'll just say that. And she had somewhat to say. So, Joe, go around 39. Let's see, we're in the right place, more or less.
And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. You know, what I want you to get something here. That the word of God, the word of Jehovah, by the mouth of Jeremiah, by the mouth of Jeremiah, that word may be accomplished. God stirred up the heart of that king. And well, we may say, well, he was this awesome prophet of God. Of course, if God gave him a word, he would fulfill that word. But God has given us words. He has given us words and to live by. And every word that we say is a prophetic word. We prophesy our destiny, whether we prophesy it out of the lies of the kingdom of darkness or whether we prophesy it out of the word of the living God. Out of our mouth, the Lord, whatever we declare, that if it belongs to God, if it lines up with his word, he will make sure that that word comes to pass in our lives. But you know what? The angels respond to the word of the Lord when we speak the word of the Lord over ourselves or over, it doesn't matter. It's his word out of our mouths. And it will change people. It will change ourselves, circumstances, kings, kingdoms, and nations from our mouth. From our mouth. We have been given that authority in the earth. We are the governing body of God in the earth. But what I want us to understand as individuals today is the fact that what we say will come to pass. It will come to pass because that's what the Lord says. Otherwise, why would he even think of judging us for every word? Why would he think of that? Why would that matter if we can just say what we want and it doesn't mean anything to anybody? It doesn't bring harm to anybody. You know, if you're in a bad relationship and you're continually saying awful things about the person that you're in relationship with, whether it's a friend, whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife, it doesn't matter. Those words can cause that person to die. I am telling you the truth. Life or death. Life or death. You know, I have to say these things because they are in my spirit. This is my life message. This is what God has done in me. He's had to bring me from death because I was cursing myself all of my life. And the Lord's had to bring me out from under that kind of thing so that I could speak life to myself. I could speak life to others. I could speak his word and know beyond a shadow of a doubt it is his will and it will come to pass. But you can, without a shadow of a doubt, if you're speaking darkness, things from the kingdom of darkness, the lies that he brings to us, then you can be sure also that there is a demonic fleet that will also bring those words to pass in your life or whoever you speak them over. This is a true thing. So, but what I want us to understand today, how important it is. We are the mouth of God. We are the word of God living today on behalf of his kingdom. So it's important how we think. It's important how we speak. If our words if cursing a plant, saying ugly things to a plant can cause that plant to die, hello. If it can cause water to form ugly crystals instead of beautiful ones, this is serious stuff. This is serious stuff that the Lord wants us to get a hold of it because this is our true armor. This is a part of the true armor of God. And so I wanted to ask you today, have you struggled with your call? Is there something in Scripture, a promise in Scripture that you've had trouble dealing with? And with your call, struggling with your call, I can tell you, I have all my life, all of my spiritual life. I have. But there came a time when I had to cross over and start believing, okay, Lord, this is what you have said about my destiny. This is what I must believe. This is what I must proclaim day by day. And many times more than once a day, I have to declare those things. And so that's the only thing that's going to bring the change to me. That's what's going to bring healing in my body, in my mind, in my soul, in my emotions, and yours also. And it's just, it's the enemy doesn't want us to understand this at all. Not at all, because he can maintain his place, he can maintain his upper hand, and he knows that his destiny for us will be accomplished if we don't get this, if we don't get this. And there's so many people going to come in this revival that's going to need to understand these things, and we are going to have to be able to take them by the hand and help them and teach them how to speak the language of the kingdom that they've been brought into.
Joe,
help
face,
us,
face
Lord.
Down,
help
Joe.
Us, Lord. So anyway,
face it down at that point.
If there's if you have struggled with anything,
she led us into prayer after that last week. I'm going to quote her. I'm going to quote from what you just heard. She said, "When we speak and declare the word of Jehovah from our mouth as the actual and real," she didn't say this. This is where when I was sitting there, the Lord started speaking to me. "As the real body of Messiah." Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe hasn't gone deep. I wanted to go deep. We're not pretending. We're not the great pretender here. We are the body of Messiah. So whose mouth is it in the body of Messiah? His mouth. It's the mouth of the body of Messiah. When we speak the word of Jehovah, or Yah, or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, from our mouth, because we are the real body of Messiah, thereby what she said now, declaring and proclaiming the given authority of Yeshua, it indeed, she said, releases the power of the Godhead to whatever we speak to. Listen to that. When we speak as the body of Messiah, the words of the Father releases the power of the Godhead to whatever we speak to. As I was, the Lord's just, it's been just downloading, so I keep writing. Did you know that you were made in his image and likeness? Has everybody heard that? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're a mirror image? Are you a hologram? Is that what it means? What does it make to be made in the image and likeness of God? You know what it actually, one of the things it means? In its address in the Torah, it says we're as gods. The Torah said we are as gods. I didn't want to go there. I want to go to this one. Okay? I want to go to the fact that if we are like him, we're made like him in a similar way. Let me ask you a question. What was the methodology that the Father, the Godhead, Yeshua, according to the book of Hebrews, used to create? Did he do an erector set? Did he take blocks, Lincoln blocks? What did he do? He spoke. You realize that the greatest thing that is attributed to the Godhead is speaking the world to existence. And we have the same authority. We are the mouth. When we speak, we are creating with our words. When we speak, as the body of Yeshua, and you say, well, I don't listen. Maybe I need to have take a survey here. If you are a believer, if you've accepted Yeshua as your Savior, raise your hand. The Holy Spirit just took note. That means you are the body of Messiah. The Messianic movement says that they are the head and not the tail. So how does the head communicate? You get a penalty in the NFL if you use your head. How does the head communicate? Through words. All of a sudden, there's a greater depth to what she was speaking that the Lord wants me to bring out. James, the brother of Yeshua, his actual name is Yaakov. So, but they wouldn't put Yaakov in the Bible, so they put James to honor the king that paid the money for it. Yaakov, James, the brother of Yeshua, wrote the following. He stated unequivocally, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this thing should not be. A spring doesn't pour out fresh and bitter water in the same opening. Does it? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. That's James 3, 10 through 12. I could speak on the tongue and the fire, which she alluded to. Her mouth is a fire and all those things. And it has the power of life and death. Well, that was from Deuteronomy. James didn't invent that. It says that in Deuteronomy. I am compelled to repeat the part of those words. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be. From the mouth, you can't have blessing and cursing. These things should not be. The problem is they are. You can get your tomatoes ready. The problem is they are. They do come out of the same mouth. But, she said, we're responsible. She didn't quote the scripture, but the Lord wants me to read it to you. We're responsible for every utterance, every word. It says in verse 36 of Matthew 12, but I tell you that on the day of judgment, men and women will give account for every careless word. The King James Version uses idle words. It means careless. For by your words you will be justified and go to heaven, or by your words you'll be condemned and go to hell. I added the heaven and the hell. That's what it said. Yeshua said that. Also, Rebbetzin said last week, Yehovah has given us words to live by. And every word we say is a prophetic word, having the power to bring life, which is Adonai's word, or death, which is our own fleshly words or Satan's words. To everyone who hears those words, including our own ears. We think that it's okay to get angry and spew out something. It's going to that person. Yeah, it goes to that person. But you're hearing it too. W- Well, I don't think there's any deaf mutes here. That means that every time we say, we also hear. And the effect of those, you can, if you send out a vapor that is toxic, are you not smelling the same air? If you send out words that are toxic, are you not hearing the same words? This is even more critical in those that are one, husbands and wives. Because whatever you direct to her, since I'm a him, whatever I direct to her, it's just, you know. But the biggest is pointing back. We have this great marriage, right? So if you allow yourself to say anything about part of the body that you're part of, aren't you not receiving it? But the problem is you receive it because you're part of the body, but you receive it because you have ears. No wonder the Lord said, he who has ears, let him hear to what the Spirit says to the congregation. I want you to listen today because this was given to me. I'm going to deliver it with all the authority was given to me. So, she said, we can curse ourselves. We can directly curse ourselves. Oh, I'm so blank. Don't know what to say? Say, I'm so blessed. Okay? Say with me, blessed. Every time that you're tempted to say, I'm so blank, blankety blank, you say, I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. I am so blessed, blessed. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. And when we speak those words, Satan's angels will bring that to pass. Because as created as a creator, you worse have the capacity to create. That's the biggest weapon there is. On the other hand, we can bless ourselves and others. And Adonai Tzvaot, what does that mean? The God of angel armies. Adonai Tzvaot means the Lord of hosts. That word hosts in the King James means angel armies. The Lord of angel armies plus his army. Because when the Lord of angel armies says, go, the angels go. Yeshua said, I can say unto this one, go, unto that one, go. Yeshua said he had the same authority. If Yeshua had the same authority, then the body of Yeshua has the same authority. Come on now. Let me tell you what she said. It will change people. I'm quoting her. It will change ourselves. It will change kings, kingdoms, and nations. Then she said, we've been given that authority. If that's the case, then it's yours and mine choice. She said that. I didn't quote her there. These are my words. I'll tell you when I'm quoting her. It is yours and mine's choice. Now, just in case you're being blindsided by this concept of the body of Messiah, I'm going to do a little teaching on it. It's a couple of paragraphs. Yeshua placed us in the body as it pleases him. Psalm 127 and 1 Corinthians 12, 18 and 27. 1 Corinthians 8, 12, 18. But God has placed the parts, each one of them in the body, in his body, as he desired. Verse 27, 12, 27, 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Messiah. You're not like it. You're not similar to. You're just a member. You are the body of Messiah. And members individually of the body of Messiah. Now, unless Adonai builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Isn't that correct? Psalm 127. Okay. So, when Paul writes in Romans 12, 4 and 5, for just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and every one parts of one another. Uh-oh. The fact is that the Lord builds his house. The fact is that unless God builds it, it's not going to happen. So guess what? He built the body of Messiah because he took every one of us and plugged them in. Plugged us in as it pleased him. The fact is, you really did not choose to be part of the body of Messiah. He chose you sovereignly. He chose you. Therefore, it's not up to you to gift yourself for his service. Actually, he gifts us. We're not like a body of Messiah. We are the body of Messiah. He gave us that privilege. You know, in reality, he doesn't have to use you and me. He doesn't really need us. He could use rocks as easily. You know what the problem is? Rocks are easier to use than us. We're so stubborn. We talk to you all the time about worshiping God. Feel sometimes that we're talking to a wall. But I think if there were some rocks here, I feel I could talk to those rocks and they start worshiping God. But I can't make you. I want to. If I have my legs good, I go running around, standing in your face, in front of you, so you can smell my breath, good or bad. I'll start with the men. The men are full of excuses why not to worship God. My voice isn't too good. You know what that's called? Whinies. Whinies. And I used to tell my children, we don't understand whinies or Chinese or any of those things. So don't speak any whinies, speak English. And some of us just have, well, I'm a man. Don't tell me what to do. I would just stand before you and go, you going to do it? You going to do it? I'm not messing around. The so-called leaders of the body of Messiah are the men. The Pelosi thing. Calm down, Tony. Calm down. However, he has given us, the men and the women, the members of the body, responsibility, privilege, and opportunity to be used. Responsibility, privilege, and opportunity to be used. Let those words penetrate. He has given us responsibility, privilege, and opportunity when he placed us in his body. If you say you're messianic, and I think you say that, then you're part of the head. And the part of the head that does anything is the mouth. In particular. What does the body of Messiah mean? I've spoken on this before, so I took a paragraph from 25 years ago. Here's the paragraph from 25 years ago. So if Yeshua desires to, one, express tears of compassion. Wait a minute, where is Yeshua right now? He said, it's in my heart. Okay, I understand. He doesn't sit in the throne of my heart. Unless I make a throne for him there. The Holy Spirit is there. Where's Yeshua? Literally. Ah, doing what? Interceding and waiting. Maybe he's getting nervous and saying, Father, is it time? Is it time? Because he doesn't know. Well, so he said, is it time? He's ready to come. He's ready to come get his bride. Okay? His father may not be ready, but he's been ready since he went. So, if he's interceding for us, and he sees some of the stuff that we go through, and he sees what's happened to us, and he sees what was done to us when we were young, and he sees what was done to us when something happened, and he sees what we do to each other as married couples, when he sees any of that, and he desires to spare express tears of compassion. How is he going to do it? Ha! Thank you. This is like a wedding. I tell the husband, because he thinks he's got it together, and he's the first one doesn't remember a thing when he gets under the hoopah. Even though he memorized 1 Corinthians 13, you say, well, say it from memory. Or say Proverbs 31 from memory. What? I understand. The woman is there and she's wiping everything out. All he can say is, wow. So I tell the men, all you have to say is, I do. Practice with me. I do. You say, I do. I do. Don't know what to say, just say, I do. I do that every time in every wedding. You just need to say, we do. Us. When Yeshua expresses tears of compassion, wants to, he uses our eyes. Have you ever had Sam or one of the leaders here get teary-eyed? In your presence? Sam or I? Just the two of us. We have a deal here. If he does it in front of me, I do it back. He uses our eyes. Suppose Yeshua wants to speak words of comfort. How is that going to happen? He uses our mouth. Suppose Yeshua wants to extend a helping hand. Use our hands. Suppose Yeshua wants to hug someone that needs a hug. He uses our arms. Suppose Yeshua wants to walk across the street to visit somebody. Or in the other part of the city or in a hospital. Who does he use? Who uses his body? Ah, hello. So he uses us. He uses our feet. Suppose Yeshua desires to bless his congregation with the Aaronic benediction. He uses me. In his sovereignty, Yeshua has chosen sovereignly to use his body to accomplish his ministry. And when he said, you will do greater things than I do, and we go like, how can that happen? He's saying it to his body. And we who are members in particular can be responsible for some part of that. And cause things that are deity driven, that are Godhead driven, because we are the body of Messiah. We are the ministry of Yeshua on the earth today. You are part of it, and so am I. You have a function, and so do I. I will only personally be fulfilled and successful if I do the function in the body of Messiah that he planted me there to do. Whether he intended that for me or for you or for us. What is a member of his body supposed to do then? How do we as his body know what to do? How do we know what to do? How do we know how? How? Rebbetzin told us, what if you want to say? What words should you speak? The words of Yehovah. The scripture. You see, you and I have a purpose in life. And we have a purpose as the body of Messiah. I know why I exist. And I know why I'm here. I understand Adonai's purpose in allowing me to be part of his body. And I am greatly fulfilled and happy when I do that service. Turns out that people are in unhappy spaces because they're not used the way they want to be used. See, everybody desires to be an ear or an eye or even a toe. Nobody wants to be an armpit. Nobody wants to be a rear end, right? If my job is armpit, I'll do the best armpit I can be. Even if I smell bad, just part of it. People are in unhappy spaces because they're not used in his service. But Yeshua said, blessed is the man who gives. What? Blessed is the man who gives. He's not really just talking about money. The more you give to the Lord, the happier we become. Similarly, the less you give to the Lord, the more frustrated and depressed you become. We haven't been really being spokesmen for the Lord in everyday kinds of situations. The key to happiness is usefulness, which is being used while you're here in this world serving the Lord. My focus today is to bring to pass in our space the word of Yeshua. Among these is my favorite scripture, the words of Yeshua. The thief, Satan, comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come to give life that they might have it and have it abundantly. I want to choose giving life to myself and others. Don't you? Since what we say will come to pass, then indeed, Rebbetzin was right. We are prophets. We're prophesying, either good or bad. Because we're the mouth of God. We're the mouth of Yeshua. Therefore, knowing that, I'm going to choose to declare abundant life. What does that mean? Among the things abundant life means is physical healing, forgiveness, hope, miracles, changing of hearts, changing of circumstances, restoration of relationships, healing of relationships, building up, not tearing down people, especially the people of God, and releasing and not condemning people, since after all, I am not the judge. Who is the judge? Yeshua. He didn't delegate that to his body. He saved that for himself. So, yeah, we're the body of Messiah, but we're not the judge. That part of the job he kept for himself. Rebbetzin says, we don't get this, quote, unquote. We do not get this, she said, but we're going to. Whether you got it last week and you prayed when she prayed, or when I pray at the end of this, which is coming up here. She also pointed out something that the Lord spoke to me about. She said that the real armor of God is the armor of Yeshua. She also said that the armor of Yeshua is not Roman armor. So what is it? She didn't say this. I'm going to say it. It's kingdom armor. The armor of Yeshua is kingdom armor. Let me tell you what scripture says about Yeshua. It says that Yeshua is king, priest, and prophet. The three things Yeshua is: priest, king, and prophet. Well, then the body of Yeshua functions as a king, functions as a priest, and functions as a prophet. Either that or it's not the real body of Messiah. But the real body of Messiah functions in the ministries Yeshua demonstrated for us. Do you get this? Did you know the Bible says that we're kings and priests to serve our God? Let me read it to you. I could sing it, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar segula people, to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness, into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. Compare that to Exodus 19, 5 and 6 and Isaiah 42, 6. And you'll see that it's even more. And then we can go to the book of Revelation. And they are singing a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. For you were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Okay, not just Jews. Peter was talking to the Jews, right? But in the book of Revelation, it says, you have chosen, redeemed for God those from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Next verse 10. You have made them for our God a kingdom of priests and kings, and they shall reign upon the earth. There's a song. You can sing that song too. Oh, I know Israel is the kingdom of priests and kings. Torah says that. So maybe I take Peter's words to mean that he's speaking to the Jewish people. You can't say that in this verse, because it says every tongue, every tribe, you are also a kingdom of Kohanim and Melachim, priests and kings. So if you are a kingdom of kings and priests, and you're speaking like Yeshua, every edict that you say from your mouth, it's got power behind it. So if you choose, like she said, to speak the words of Jehovah, when you proclaim King Jehovah and King Yeshua, his son, when you proclaim his word, you're proclaiming his edicts like a king does. How about priests? As priests, we lead people in the worship of Jehovah and his son Yeshua. Leading implies our own participation, men. You just go ahead and keep for the next 31 years, for the past 31 years, many men tell me, well, I can't sing, and I can't. You're all wimped out. You're emasculated. You can't do anything. Stop it. I tell you what, a bunch of ladies around here and wives would love to see you lose yourself in worship of God. That'd be a great leading. We lead in sitting. Can't get a man to stand up and come to the altar for nothing. Tony, just be quiet. Leading implies that we are involved. Our own participation and involvement is required when you're leading. So, question, do you lead yourself, your family, your friends and neighbors, your jurisdiction, your dominion, so to speak, in the worship of the king? Well, I have an idea. I told him to do it. Most men, well, I told him to do it. I gave him the money. I brought him to the place, and I'm just going to sit down and watch. That's a men's way. Like I said, I love to stand before you, in front of you, and say, are you going to do it? Or raise my knee and say, are you going to do it now? As prophets, what prophets do? They speak the word of Jehovah and his son Yeshua. What are the words of Jehovah and his son Yeshua? Well, I have a few words here. They are words of life. They're words of wisdom. They're words of healing. They're words of peace. They're words of repentance. The words that can change spouses, sons and daughters, family, people, ourselves, and all other earthly kings, earthly kingdoms and nations. That's the part she said. We have been called to fulfill the function of the body of Messiah on this earth and to bring the kingdom of heaven on this planet to the jurisdiction of the kingdom of heaven. Everything. I believe that we're prepared and equipped to do just that. But there's an if. It's always an if. Only if you answer his call. I'd like to ask you a question. Can you think, since a lot of you were here last week, and you heard what she said, and you went to that repentance prayer with her. So, let me speak to you guys. Can you think of anything you said this week that were not Jehovah's words? I can. The rabbi, the sinner rabbi, says he. The saint people, the people are the saints. So that means the rabbi is a sinner. So the sinner rabbi can think of words that were not from God this week. Well, how about 2 weeks ago? How about this year? How about the last few years? How about a lifetime? Maybe the question should be, have you ever spoken the words of Yeshua as the mouth of Yeshua? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you ever spoken as the mouth of Yeshua, the words of Yeshua? Well, that's the trouble that we get into when the Rebbetzin has to prophesy. And so she prophesied, and here I am doing it. Because half of my body prophesied it. So the other half is coming to bring it to you. I think we need to respond. Just like what she said last week. I think we need to respond to Yeshua. I think we need to respond to his Father, to Yehovah, to Yah. What should we say? Yes and amen. What should we say to what Yeshua wants us to do? What should we say to Yeshua when he asks us to do something? Okay. It's starting to warm up, and it needs to warm up some more. What are we going to say to Yeshua when he asks us personally to speak his words? Yes and amen. I will do it. Oh, I'm the only one. No wonder I'm not leading anybody. Yes and amen. Follow that with I will do it. You're not saying, you're doing it to me. You're saying it to him. You're saying it to the Holy Spirit. So I think that we need to then become the real and true body of Messiah Yeshua starting today, right now. Because our future depends on it. Please lower your, so let me be a reverend. Reverend Tony says, bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Yeshua, I repent. Yeshua, I repent. Yeshua, I repent. What art thou repenting of, my son? I have sinned against you. I have sinned against your father. Because you made it very clear that I am to use your word as if it were my own. That I'm to declare your words. And instead I've declared some other words that are going to be judged. They're going to be spoken in the courtroom at the end of time. Everybody's going to hear them. So I can't recover what happened in the past, but I can surely change the future, the present and the future. So, Lord, I commit. Please forgive me first. Lord, just forgive. I don't need to say please. Forgive me because Yeshua died for me. Forgive me of my not speaking your word. And I commit to speak your word. So from now on, I'm going to go beyond Siri. Siri says, done. I'm going to go beyond and said, yes and amen. It's done, yes and amen. It is done, yes and amen. I will be your mouthpiece. If you don't want me to be a mouthpiece, Lord, you can relegate me to a toe. Or you can send me to be an armpit. Or a hair, or an ear, or a nail. It doesn't matter to me because we're all part of the body. We're all part of the body. So as long as the body is the body of Messiah, I'm good. So Father, forgive me for I've sinned. But I make a decision. I turn things around. I make tshuva. My decision is, with all that I have, with all my heart, I want to speak your words. In the name of Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom.